Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Richmond. It's 12 noon, and I'm AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, and we are live and local here on a Wednesday, April 30th. Richmond's home for the Nats, the Caps, the Wiz, the Commanders, Virginia Tech football, VCU Hoops, and the Flying Squirrels. And today is a playoff game day here on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM for the Washington Capitals. Washington back on home ice with a dominant 3-1 advantage. But you feel like the Caps must take care of business tonight. You would like to avoid another trip back to Canada for Game 6 in Montreal. Ovi and the young core of the Caps have played their best hockey here in the postseason and came from 2-1 down to win 5-2 in Game 4 over the weekend. So rock the red and support the Caps tonight. NBA playoffs continue. Last night saw Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks get eliminated by the Indiana Pacers. A wild comeback in overtime for Indiana that concluded with Tyrese Halliburton hitting the game-winning layup. Then his father staring down Giannis Antetokounmpo in a near-on-court incident after the game had ended. Who was in the wrong? We'll discuss on the show today, 833-804-0910, live and local, 12 to 3 p.m. here on The Fan. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. You can tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air, but you know how we like to start the show, by catching you up on anything you might have missed around the sports world when we open up the sports app.
Here it is, everybody.
Clearly, this is the future.
Stats, scores, highlights.
Whoa, are you serious?
Wi-Fi plus 3G, 64K. This one.
The sports app.
Bucks in overtime, up by 7 with under a minute to play. Pacers hit a 3, get a stop and a steal, and they get the ball back down by 1. Let's take a listen to the final call.
Here we go. Halliburton, 5 seconds, 4 seconds, Halliburton for the lead, 1.3 to go, Pacers by 1, Porter to inbound it, no, Giannis is going to take it now, here's Gary Trent Jr., lets it fly, and the Pacers are moving on. What a comeback in overtime.
With another first-round exit, I think it is time to start talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo as overrated for how good he actually is in the NBA. Giannis, after the game, calls out Tyrese Halliburton's father for being disrespectful. The two stared each other down face-to-face, eye-to-eye, after the Pacers got the win. Let's take a listen.
I feel like that's very, very disrespectful. You know, my dad, if you guys go and ask and learn, my dad's not with us no more. My dad used to come in the family room and was the most respectful person ever. You know, when you come from nothing and you've worked your whole life, to sell stuff in the street, and your whole life you'll be scared of the police of deporting you and sending you back to your country. You have to protect your kids with all means. You create this mentality of being humble your whole life.
Look, Giannis is right, and Tyrese Halliburton's father was in the wrong, staring him down and waving a towel that said, "Go Pacers." But Giannis, get off the court and go home. You lost. You're on the Indiana home court. Of course they're going to celebrate. They're moving on. Get off the court and go home. Wah, wah, cry, baby. You lost. Go home. Get the heck out of there. Pistons, Knicks, down to the wire. Pistons win 106-103. Let's take a listen to the final call.
Second one. It's off. Knocked up in the air. Battle. Knocked outside. Nobody there for New York. And Detroit basketball stays alive.
And it's going back to Detroit for a pivotal game six. Celtics eliminate the Magic 120-89. And then Nuggets get a fantastic game from Jamal Murray. 40-plus points to help the Nuggets win 131-115. The Nuggets now have a 3-2 series lead after winning two games in a row. Tonight, there are two games on the slate, both Western Conference. Golden State leading 3-1 at Houston. Minnesota leading 3-1 at L.A. Can the Lakers and the Rockets win to keep their seasons alive? We move over to the NHL on the Sports app. Capitals at home against Montreal tonight. That's going to be a fantastic game. 7 p.m. first is your puck drop. Panthers, Lightning down. Or excuse me, down 3-1 in that series. Blues, Jets. It is a series that is tied 2-2. Last night, some unbelievable hockey. We'll start with the Hurricanes against the Devils. That game goes to overtime. No score. Double overtime. Let's take a listen to the final call.
Down to a minute remaining on the power play. Gostisbehere to the far side. Back across. Too hard for Jarvis. Gostisbehere with it once again. To the far circle. Score! Aho wins it and sends the Hurricanes to the second round. Sebastian Aho on the power play.
So Canes eliminate the Devils. Senators take a make it 3-2 against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Golden Knights defeat the Wild 3-2. Vegas now leads that series 3-2. Let's take a listen to the final call. Overtime winner for Vegas.
Pearson controlling the puck with his skates. Kicks it along. It emerges. McKay plays it behind the net out in front. Score! It's over! Howden! Off the one-touch feed, Vegas wins it in overtime.
We move over to Major League Baseball on the Sports app. Nationals, Phillies. Phillies jump out to a 2-0 lead at the end of the first. They make it 3-0 at the end of the third. Nationals up at the plate in the sixth inning. It's Garcia with a one-run solo home run. Let's take a listen to the call.
Wheeler a long time now, ready to the wind with the clock shut off at 3 in the pitch. Swing and a drive hit well to right center field. Rojas going back, way back, going, and gone! Goodbye! Into the Phillies bullpen. Bang! Zoom goes Luis Garcia Jr. with his second home run of the year. And the Nationals on the board with a terrific at-bat. A home run on the 10th pitch of the at-bat for Luis Garcia Jr.
In the seventh,
the Phillies 3 in the Nationals.
Abrams would double to right, making it 3-2. Turner scores and Harper scores in the eighth. It's now 5-2 Phillies. James Wood up at the plate in the ninth inning. He doubles to center. Abrams scores. It's 5-3. And then Lowe with a home run to give the Nationals the lead 6-5. Let's take a listen to the call.
Lowe taps his bat on home plate. Windmills it around. Kirkering has the sign, the set at the belt, the pitch on the way. Swinging a long drive, right field. Castellanos going back to the wall, and it's gone! And the Nationals lead down to their final strike. Nathaniel Lowe, it's a fly ball right down the right field line over the fence. It's the Nationals 6, the Phillies 5.
So exciting.
Stunned silence here at Citizens Bank Park.
Nathaniel Lowe with his 6th home run of the season, giving the Nats a 6-5 advantage. The Nats take advantage of the Phillies' awful bullpen. We move to the bottom of the 9th, and it's the Phillies taking advantage of the Nationals' awful bullpen. The Phillies tie the game with a sac fly and then win it on a wild pitch. Let's take a listen to the call.
Stop the winning run 90 feet away. Finnegan's 2-0 to Turner. In the dirt, Ruiz smothers it. Runner breaks to the plate. The throw to Finnegan's behind him. And the game's over. On the wild pitch, Stott scores the winning run. 7-6 Phillies.
We check in with the Orioles here on the sports app. And the Yankees with history against the O's and Baltimore's Kyle Gibson in the first inning. The Yankees became the first team in Major League Baseball history to open a game with 3 consecutive home runs. Let's take a listen. 1, 2, and 3, Bronx Bombers.
High fly ball, right field and deep. Laureano turns, looks, see ya, he's done it again. High fly ball, right field. Laureano back, track, wall, see ya. Yankees open up with back-to-back blasts. Driven out to right field. Laureano back, turning, looking. See ya.
3 straight. Yankees would get 5 in the first and blow out the Orioles 15-3 over 2. The National Football League on the Sports app. 49ers tight end George Kittle signs a $76.4 million extension to stay as the 49ers starting tight end through the 2029 NFL season. The big story of the NFL draft is Shedeur Sanders falling and the prank phone call made supposedly by defense coordinator for the Falcons' son, Jeff Ulbrich's son. Well, the NFL has fined the Falcons $250,000 for failing to prevent the disclosure of confidential information distributed to the club in advance of the NFL draft and fined defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich $100,000. J.J. McCarthy believes he's ready to start week one, day one for the Minnesota Vikings. Let's take a listen to QB1 for the Vikes.
I know I'm ready to start because all the work I put in and just the confidence in my skills and abilities and just being able to do my job and simplify things to, you know, the best of my ability every single day and, you know, just take it one day at a time, one play at a time. And, you know, I have a tremendous coaching staff, a tremendous group of guys around me that I can lean on and they can lean on me.
All eyes will be on J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings, who won 14 games the previous season. Washington. Have the Commanders set them up for success in 2025 with the moves they've made throughout this offseason? The trades, the free agent signings, and now the 2025 draft class. Have they set themselves up for success in 2025? It's the question of the day on the Commanders Corner. Coming up next, 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. You can tweet us your thoughts at AWAD Radio, AWADDRADIO, or at 910 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Up is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, and feels like Commanders fans are still buzzing from the deal reached with DC for the $3 billion stadium. There's some reports that are saying $3.8, some saying $4 billion stadium. We do know 65-seat stadium that will have a roof. We don't know if it's going to be retractable, but it will be a dome. And they made the announcement earlier this week. So much excitement about the team moving back to RFK. Rick Snyder is a columnist and covers the Washington Commanders and more here in Washington, D.C. He will join the show in about 15 minutes. He's the creator of Rick Snyder's Washington and a columnist for Yard Barker. But the question right now for Commanders fans is, have the Commanders set themselves up for success in 2025 with the moves made this offseason? I know there's a lot of excitement about the team moving back to RFK by 2030. But let's get back to the goal for this offseason, which was to be the most aggressive team in the National Football League and to make enough moves so that Jaden Daniels and the offense can improve, the defense can be better, and they can make it back to the postseason. Because I just feel like you might never have an opportunity like this again with the entire fan base in the palm of your hands. You own the Washington Commanders fan base, Josh Harris. They owe you everything. Even Mayor Bowser say it, right? You didn't just buy the team. You saved us from the Wicked Witch of the West that was Dan Snyder. He's gone. Josh Harris has come in and done so many good things here to make this team relevant. And now the latest was, of course, the deal with RFK. But has the guy he hired in terms of Adam Peters done enough to set this team up for success in 2025 with the moves they've made this offseason? I would say yes, except for the glaring hole that is edge rusher. And there are plenty of guys that are still available. Matthew Judon, Za'Darius Smith, Von Miller, Preston Smith, who played at one point for the Washington Commanders. They could bring back James Smith Williams. Shaq Barrett is an interesting name out there that's had a lot of success in the National Football League. Carl Lawson. I think the two that I circle are Za'Darius Smith, Von Miller. Those two guys I think are 8-plus sacks a season kind of guys that you could bring in here because they are still available in the edge rusher free agent class of 2025. There's still a chance that they could make a trade for a Trey Hendrickson. I don't think J.J. Watt happens with the Steelers. I never thought that smoke was real, but I like Washington's name being included on lists of edge rushers that are upset with their current franchise because we are now a destination for impending free agents, for people that are just upset with their current franchise, or for rookies as well. Does Washington need one of these guys on the list? It sure feels like that because I do think that the offense is good. The offense is in a good place right now. And I think if you broke down the depth chart for the Commanders, you'd be pretty surprised about how many improvements they've made on the offensive side of the ball. Like, I'm telling you, I think you could count to 5, maybe even 6 upgrades of the 11 on the offensive side of the ball of the starters, right? So Jaden's back, B-Rob's back, Terry's back. Debo, that's an improvement right there. That is an improvement right there at one wide receiver position, all right? That's one. Laremy Tunsil, that's 2. If Allegretti doesn't start because Coleman is starting left guard, that's 3, all right? If Josh Connerly starts over Andrew Wiley, that's 4 right there, all right? And then you got to talk about, oh, Jalen Lane is probably an upgrade over K.J. Osborne, maybe even over Luke McCaffrey. He certainly has more experience and had more success in college at that position than Luke McCaffrey, who went out of high school as a quarterback and started his collegiate career that way. So I would point to four or five upgrades on the offensive side of the ball from the moves they've made in free agency and the draft, and now you could have an improvement in terms of your third down running back. If Kroski Merritt ends up panning out into being an actual player, you could have a much improved offensive side of the ball. Defensively, improvements all over the defensive side of the ball, except for the edge. You know, Adam Peters will claim that's what Dietrich Wise was brought in for. Javon Kinlaw was brought in for. I think the fan base is clamoring for more help on the defensive side of the ball to take that next step. But in terms of the secondary, Will Harris could be an upgrade. It really feels like Trey Amos is going to be an upgrade. Marshawn Lattimore, a full offseason to get healthy, is an upgrade over himself from the way he played at the end of last season. So I'm asking the question, has Washington set them up for success in 2025 with the moves they've made? Yes, but I still want an edge rusher. I still think the defense, look, the defense is going to take time to create chemistry with the new pieces, and I think they still need that pass rusher that will put fear in the opposing team's offensive coordinator. How many times did Washington this past year have to chip Micah Parsons or chip three of the Eagles' edge rushers or chip Kayvon Thibodeau with the Giants or TJ Watt with the Steelers? We played against a lot of really good pass rushers this season, and Cliff Kingsbury's answer to that was to put an extra blocker in place of Bates getting more snaps or an extra running back in the backfield that before he runs his route, he blocks. And so I do think that getting Connerly will help that for sure, so that, yes, you have another extra offensive lineman there and maybe your tight end, your running backs, and your slot wide receiver could actually run the routes rather than chipping. But on the other side of the ball, do we have that guy that other teams feel like they need to chip? I don't know that any team feels like we have to chip Cleveland Farrell because we're afraid of his sack count. We're afraid of Dorrance Armstrong. I don't think that's the case. And when in terms of teams defending Washington next year, I think they're going to say, yeah, we'll just put our starting offensive lineman on Washington's starting defensive lineman, because we don't have that edge rusher that puts fear in you to feel like, hey, we got to chip this guy. We can't let him get a free running start to the quarterback or he's going to ruin our game plan. We don't have that guy. We don't have, and there's not that many of those guys in the National Football League, but it sure feels like there's at least 15 or 20 of them, because we played against one of those guys about half of the games we played last season. Almost every single week, there was a guy that struck fear into Washington's offense coordinator Cliff Kingsbury. And we talk about when the Cleveland, that was Myles Garrett. You know, with New York, they've got their guys. With Chicago, they had their edge rushers. It was our former guy, of course, Montez Sweat. Throughout the season, we faced edge rushers, and when they had the rush up the middle, Jaden Daniels was in trouble. Around the edge, he used his speed and his quickness and the fact that they didn't have all the tape in the world on him to get away from them. Right, a lot of people, I think, realized, hey, we watch Jaden, he's fast, but then you get on the field, man, he's beating every edge rusher to the corner, and that's how he's getting upfield. That wasn't the case against the Eagles. That wasn't the case against the Bucks. It's a lot harder against these top defensive players. But for Washington, I still think they need another edge rusher if they're going to be Super Bowl contenders. And so this roster right now, I think, can make the playoffs 10 games. Absolutely. Could win a playoff game. I just don't know that we're beating right now the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know that we're even going back to Detroit if we play them on their home turf again and beating them if they're fully healthy. I do think we're probably the third best team based off our roster in the NFC, but you never know. Every year there's a surprise. Last year was us and also the 14-win Minnesota Vikings. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. I saw an article online that named the five biggest steals in the NFL draft, and a Washington Commander was named. Ole Miss cornerback Trey Amos, once considered a borderline first-round talent, it was surprising to see him barely sneak into the second round. The Washington Commanders pounced on his availability at 61 overall. Amos is a lanky aggressive corner who protects, who projects as an ideal scheme fit in Dan Quinn's defense. Amos should quickly compete for snaps outside opposite Marshawn Lattimore. The Commanders got a starting cornerback near the conclusion of the second round. I feel really confident from the moves we made about our secondary. I just think the next step is to maybe go out and sign one of these edge rushers that are still available in free agency. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, we will talk NBA on the Fast Break with AWOD at 2 p.m. Run around local sports in Richmond, Virginia at 2:30 with Lane Casadante. Rick Snyder to talk RFK deal when we return on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Is a Commanders Stadium in Washington, D.C. good for the city? Well, we'll find out more information right now as Rick Snyder joins us on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, columnist for Yard Barker, and he started Rick Snyder's Washington. What's going on, Rick? Glad to get you on the show again.
Thanks. Yeah, it's my Washington, so I get to weigh in on the stadium.
So, let's start with this. What's the next step for this to be finalized?
They have to get approval by the city council, and you need a simple 7-6 majority. Right now, they know they have 4 votes. They know they have 4 no's, and like everything else in America, we'll fight for the independents in the middle. So, because the city council decides all the money. The mayor can cut the deal, the council's the one that does it. When they did Nats Park, it was 7-6, even though everybody wanted it, because this is where you get your political maneuvering in a city of politics. What's going to happen is those 3 yes votes they need, they're going to say, well, listen, I'll vote for you, but this is a once-in-a-generational chance to shake you down for good money. Mm-hmm. So, Josh, I need you to build a community rec center or something. Something like that. You know, and you get those things, and then you get your votes. So politics as usual.
So why is this announcement different from the deal with Glenn Youngkin and Ted Leonsis for Virginia to get the Capitals and Wizards?
Well, that one was never actually written down as a contract. It was just a verbal agreement.
Okay.
This is actually, they do have a contract in place. So, that, you know, they're one step farther than Youngkin was. That was such an ill-advised thing to do, you know, and because you didn't have the people in Richmond to approve it. They won't do it. They haven't done it in the past. They're not going to do it now. So that was way too premature. It was political grandstanding, and they got burned for it.
Rick, would you – like, is there a big group of people that live around the RFK Stadium site right now that wouldn't want it to be reinvented, reimagined, and redeveloped again?
Well, you'd think so, because the last thing they built around there was 1961, and that was RFK.
Right.
Okay. It's a very neglected part of town. And there is there's a lot of neighborhoods near it, not on top of it. But they want to have a whole bunch of different things. You know, we're always screaming about housing in the city. But, you know, they want stuff. They don't have any grocery stores. They don't have any of these kind of things around there. It's a neglected, forgotten part of town as the Eastern Gateway. What this can do is what happened twice already. They built the arena back in 97. Penn Quarter was an abandoned area, just blocks off Pennsylvania Avenue. But it was chickens hanging in the windows at Chinatown and surface parking lots. And it generated $6 billion in new construction. And now Penn Quarter's thriving. Then Nats Park was in a disgraceful southern entrance to the city. I used to always say it was a war zone of things. I thought, you drive here, you can see the Capitol Dome, and we're in a third world nation at the moment. They brought Nats Park in, and the Learners developed all that area, and now the Navy Yard is a great part of town. That's what they're wanting to do now on the east side of town.
So, Rick, what would be, you know, your argument to somebody that is a council member for one of the wards there that is saying no? I mean, is it simply just, hey, look at what they've done with Capitol and Arena in the last 20 years, with Nats Park in Southeast D.C.? Open your eyes and look at the rest of the town.
Yeah, I mean, their argument is that money can go help the poor. And I would say, I remember in 1968 that everybody was saying, why are we spending money going to the moon? We got poor people here on Earth.
Right.
Well, listen, in this history of time, there's always been the poor. There's always been the rich. And while we don't neglect or forget the poor, John F. Kennedy would say we have to still go to the stars. We still have to do things. And now we say it about Mars, for instance. You hear the same argument. So I would just tell them, listen, you're going to get some things out of this, and this is going to be good for a lot of people. 2,000 permanent jobs, but it's going to roll through a whole new, you know, restaurant district. It's going to be more than 2,000 jobs. That's just a stadium. It's good economic development for all this. And Harris is paying 3/4, which is more than a lot of other places are doing. So I think it's, you know, you got to spend some money to make some money. And I think they're just grandstanding on it.
Yeah, it just feels kind of short-sighted to be against this when you're talking about a Super Bowl, an NFL draft, a Final Four, Taylor Swift and Beyonce. It's going to make that area a ton of money. Josh Harris on bringing the Commanders back to D.C. said, I'm thrilled to announce the Commanders and our partners are committed to making the single largest private investment in D.C. history. Has Josh Harris just done everything right in the stadium, you know, redevelopment project here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's he kind of, you know, what happened is they had to wait for Congress to give the extension of the lease to the RFK to the city. Mm-hmm. And they gave him a 99-year lease at the very end of last year. And it took a few months to kind of get through the process. And then the mayor looked at Josh and said, listen, it's time to go. You either want to do this deal or we're moving on to somebody else because we're not going to wait anymore. And he was ready to go, too. So he felt the same way. So you had a perfect marriage there. I thought the mayor did a really nice job on all of this. It was a win-win for everybody. So, and the fans, you know, it's the spiritual home, as they like to say. But you're not going to see the graveyard of RFK around there. It's going to feel like a totally new place. The renderings, which are just renderings, look awesome. You know, will the team win championships again there? Yeah, whatever. You know, I mean, it's... That was a special time, and I'm not sure it can be replicated. And the people who sat in the RFK states, honestly, a lot of them are dead, retired, not coming kind of thing. You know, it's been 30 years. And it'll be more than that by the time they open. So it's we can't bring back Camelot, but you can start a new one.
Rick Snyder with us here on the Hadeen Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Rick, is it realistic for them to have a timeline to open this stadium 2030 that season?
Yeah, I think so. As long as the council should be voting in the next few months, whenever it takes. Mm-hmm. And then you got permitting and you've got a lot of things. But yeah, 2030 is the real deal.
So when do you think will be the next step in this?
Well, breaking ground, late this year.
Okay.
You know, once the council approves, sometime late this year. It'll take about 3 years to build, more or less. So, you know, our FedEx deal was thrown up there so fast, you know, and it showed it aged quickly. So what you have to do is build a stadium based on the future. That was Jack Kent Cook's mistake. He built a stadium based on the past, you know, like the old Giants stadium. And it aged out. And it's going to be a different group. 65,000 seems small. It's actually 10,000 more than the old RFK was. I think that'll be fine because technology is going to be bringing sports to people in new ways in the next few years. You're going to be wearing some kind of VR glasses mm-hmm. and sit in your living room and feel like you're on the field. And they'll charge you $20 a game or something for it. But this is coming. And so not as many people are going to want to come to the games. The young generation comes to games for very different reasons than my group does. You know, we just get a hot dog and beer and watch the game. You know, they're looking for enhanced experiences. So it's a very different world of in the stands. 65 is a good number, you know, overall. I mean, this is an exciting time for all sports in town, I think. This is a win-win, and anybody really against it just as being short-sighted.
Rick, can you give us any information about the talk about personal seat licenses, PSLs, and how that'll affect the fan base?
Well, Josh Harris, of course, said it, and I long predicted it, because you can't spend $3.7 billion on a stadium, you know, based on a few things. You're going to want it. And I hate this because sports in America was built by the working man following it. And now sports in America is the playground of the rich. And the working man's going to be forced out of the stadium. If you want really great seats, they haven't put money numbers up yet. But based on other stadiums, there's 20 stadiums with PSLs. A really great seat might cost you $50,000, and you have to buy the tickets. You know, and the parking's going to be very minimal overall. The rich people are going to get all that. You're going to have to take the metro. So this is going to be a playground for the rich and famous in Washington, and not, you know, the meter readers and cab drivers and people that built this franchise, they're going to be abandoned, and they're going to go to one or two games a year.
I hate to hear that. Is there anything positive?
Well, you'll enjoy yourself when you're there.
But, yeah. When I go one game every 3 years, because that's all I can afford, huh?
I mean, you're going to miss FedEx prices where you could get in for $5, $10, $20. I mean, this is going to be the rich. To me, if I was somebody who wanted to go, I'd have to buy my tickets on the secondary market. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting up $10,000 or $20,000 just to have the right to buy. That's outrageous. It's a shakedown on money, and it's a regressive tax on the fans.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. I also don't love $65,000. I wanted more towards like $75,000. Get it real loud, have a real home atmosphere. But there's going to be a lot of seats for the suite level, it feels like.
Yeah, I was looking at it. They have last year the mayor put out a bunch of reports of that independently people created, and they had like 30,000 seats projected to be $70. What a bunch of bull! No way that's happening. You know, they just put this pie in the sky thing together. So we'll see. But I don't think you can go 75,000 because I don't think you can have the bodies to fill it overall. I've gotten a lot of questions from people asking about, well, can you host soccer games there? What degree is the pitch? The pitch, it's a football field, not a pitch. I'm just like, wow, you know, where's this coming from? You know, I think the field, and of course, none of this has been decided because they haven't gotten a stadium plan yet.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you what the roof's going to be like. There's going to be a roof of some sort. We know that. There's not going to be any parking for you. I know that. But the good news is the subway's nice, and it's, you know, 10-minute walk max. So people will enjoy going. But, you know, and they're not bringing back the new name. You know, the new name, Commander's Sustain. That's not changing. And the uniforms, there may be some throwback decals on the uniforms with the Indian, you know, of the old days.
Rick, it's interesting here because there's parts of this that I really don't like, but of course there's a lot to like in terms of not having to go to Landover in the future. But I will say this in terms of the pitch, massive missed opportunity, and I think people in the DMV are starting to have FOMO knowing next summer the World Cup, and for the first time in the history of the World Cup, the host nation will not have a game in the nation's capital. And so I think that's what people are talking about is next summer we're going to be pissed because you're going to have to go to Philadelphia to watch a freaking game because this wasn't done sooner because Dan Snyder sucked.
On my list of 100 problems, that's not on it. To be honest, I don't care.
How much money would a Super Bowl make the city, though?
Oh, probably around $200 million, you know, based on past ones. Mm-hmm. And it'll make Washington be a little more expensive. And this could be, I think the earliest Super Bowl could be like 2032, maybe. So prices would be a little more. I really wish we'd gotten the Olympics. And everybody in town says, oh, no, traffic would be awful. And guess what? Traffic's awful. So you can go on vacation in August. Who cares? You know, the World Cup one, I'm not worried about. I remember World Cup games at RFK. I don't know when they were, in the 80s. You know, it's a nice... soccer people used to think RFK was great, but it got old. And I think, you know, we'll catch them next time around whenever that happens. There's a lot of nice stuff coming. It's going to be a world class, and you're going to watch it on TV.
Yeah, and hopefully the team will be good. Rick, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Adam.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Lane Casadante will join us to run around local sports in Richmond, Virginia. We'll have the Cowan Gates Hokies update with Bill Roth, and we'll drive down Richmond Highway with Gary Hess. But there was a story so big this week that I had to bring in the sports director early for a segment today, as it was announced that the Washington Commanders reveal a $3 billion stadium plan for DC's team to return to the home site of RFK. Joining us right now, the sports director, Gary Hess.
The Washington Commanders are going to play in Washington. What a concept.
It's just, it's so important to me for every DC sports team that I love to be in the city. I have a dream of trying to hit three games in one day. That's only possible if they're near each other. I have been able to go to a Nats game, and then the next day, DC United at Audi Field, how they built out Southeast. Next, RFK.
Yeah, and that is going to be, and of course, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the name of the stadium ends up being, because I'm sure they'll sell the naming rights to it. But I just think it's neat. You know, the glory years were at RFK Stadium. I think it was 61-96. So you think
61-97. Yep.
So you think about it. The George Allen years. The future is now. They went to Super Bowl VII with that team. That was RFK Stadium. I remember. You know. I wasn't there, but I can remember in the that was the 70s. I remember I have some friends who were in 81. They played the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game, and Danny White was hurt. Gary Hogeboom got hurt. Gary Hogeboom's playing quarterback. And they said they when in games like that, when the place is full and it's going, people said it literally felt like the stadium was going to crumble around you, because it would literally like shake and rattle. And I've heard those stories. And then, of course, that was the early 80s. And then in the late 80s, I started being able to cover the team, and I started experiencing RFK firsthand. And and of course, my seats gave new meanings to the word nosebleed in the auxiliary press box. But yeah, it was a very unique home field advantage during the years with George Allen, the years with Joe Gibbs, when they were top shelf in the NFL.
That's what I wonder about the history of RFK, because that area has never been like Chinatown, never been like Gallery Place where the Capital One Arena is, where it's popping and there's restaurants and bars. But when you have success like that, it makes it more of a home field advantage where you feel like, hey, I do want to come here.
And, you know, and back in the day, you didn't have to have all that around for your stadium to be successful, especially when you have a team that's a Super Bowl contender pretty much every year. But and this, that's what I like about this new, you know, so much of that is what you see now in these deals. And I love it that that's a part of it. There's going to be the retail and restaurant space and you know, high end residences are all going to be right there together as this new plan comes to fruition there by the Navy Yard. On the Anacostia there where RFK Stadium is. You know, it's just going to be neat. And I know it's, you know, at least 5 years away, but when that happens again, it's going to be really, really exciting. I got to cover quite a few games in that stadium. And I told you off air, more often than not, Richmond radio stations, or, you know, I was working for Virginia News Network, but very limited space, and the five credentials for the Washington Post, and, you know, needed to fill up that main press box. So we often got farmed with a lot of the other radio folks up into the auxiliary press box, which you would go onto that level where the press box was, and then you'd go out into the stadium and walk up the stadium steps in the upper deck all the way to the top, and you'd go up in, and so you would be higher up off the ground than any seat in the stadium to watch the game, and then you'd work your way down midway through the fourth quarter to watch the last couple minutes on the field and then do post game. And it was not, shall we say, the nicest of accommodations up there in that press box, but you could really get a feel for the atmosphere like no other place. And it was really, really cool. I think of covering a bunch of games in the 91 season when they ended up beating Buffalo in the Super Bowl, including a game against the Atlanta Falcons. That's one of the games that really stand out to me that year, where Jerry Glanville just blitzed nonstop, and Mark Rippon's like, okay, I'm just going to kill you all day. And they scored 56, and Gary Clark had over 200 yards and two touchdowns, and they just kept blitzing, and the Redskins just kept burning them. And it was kind of laughable, really, after a while. But those years, the Redskins were compelling. That's what they were called then. They were compelling theater wherever they played, but RFK added to it because the stadium had so much character. And, you know, it's like you think about baseball, you think about Wrigley Field, you think about Fenway Park, you think about the old Yankee Stadium, you think about the old Tiger Stadium, those older stadiums that had so much character to them. I think RFK was in that from an NFL standpoint to absolute assuredness.
61 to 1997, my dad took me to a couple games as a kid. I more have memories of DC United, the Washington Nationals, when they first played at RFK before Nats Park was built, and United States men's national team soccer games. And that's what's so important about bringing it back to RFK with this amazing design and the $3 billion plan by Josh Harris. Is massive missed opportunity next summer with the World Cup. The first time a World Cup has never not been in the host country's capital. They massively missed an opportunity there to make a lot of money. So the future here, if it's built by 2030, they're talking Final Fours, Super Bowls, NFL drafts, Taylor Swift, Beyonce, and more.
Yeah, and you talk about in these days, if you can get a Final Four and you can get Taylor Swift and Beyonce, then you are pretty much, you've pretty much arrived. And so, yeah, the retractable roof model, everything they're doing with the stadium. I didn't know a lot about Josh Harris before he bought the team. But, you know, one thing you've learned already is that he's going to embark on this. He's going to make sure it's done right. There's no doubt about it. And if I'm a Commanders fan, I'm very excited about what's to come.
That's what the coolest thing to me is. For 20 years, 30 years almost, they said Dan Snyder is a Redskins fan. And I called bogus. That's baloney. There's no way a real Redskins fan would treat the fan base like the way Dan Snyder treated us. Josh Harris feels like he's a fan of the team that went to games with his parents and wants to make it great again and wants to make it fun and enhance the experience for fans.
Yeah, and he's doing the right things. And I don't think, when I say he's doing the right things, I think of hiring the right coach,
right,
hiring the right GM, and then letting the coach and GM do their thing. And, and what the team does on the field this coming year, I think is going to be very interesting when they're not sneaking up on anybody and there's a target on their back. And I saw, and this is supposed to be stadium talk, but I think the team plays to that.
Yeah.
And I was really interested in what I saw quote-wise from Jaden Daniels just recently about how, hey, it's a clean slate. I haven't proven anything. I got to prove everything all over again. Last year was great, but this is a new season. Turn the page. Saying things that show maturity beyond the 1 year of experience in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Josh Harris would feel as confident to make a $2.7 billion investment, the single largest private investment in DC's history, if it wasn't for the success the team had on the field. And we talk about the economic development of a stadium. We're seeing that hopefully soon with CarMax Park. RFK is going to be that on steroids with the way they're going to build out the area.
I think that's going to be the case. And you know what's going to be interesting is this investment is, think about it, you're coming into Jaden Daniels' second season. And so just before they move into this is going to be the time when Jaden Daniels is going to get that big contract. And so You know, Josh Harris, I'm sure, is preparing for that already.
Will Jaden Daniels and the Commanders win a Super Bowl before they move into RFK if it is proposed for fall 2030?
Great question. Great question. I think they need to win a division title first.
That's Gary Hess, the czar. We'll open up the phone lines to our callers. Will the Commanders win the Super Bowl before they move into RFK 2.0 fall of 2030? 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Gary, thanks so much for stopping by.
Yeah, man. Have a great one.
Can you do another segment? I want to drive down Richmond Highway.
Well, we need to do that. That's the tradition unlike any other.
That's Gary Hess. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.